Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us, and thank you, Beza, for joining us again. It's great to have you here with us this morning. For today's lesson for communion, I wanted to look at Luke chapter 6, specifically the first section of Luke chapter 6, so verses 1 to 11. Luke chapter 6, verses 1 to 11. This section is titled, Jesus the Lord of the Sabbath, or some variation of that if you're reading a different translation. I'll be reading from the NIV. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and his disciples began to pick some heads of grain, rub them in their hands, and eat the kernels. Some of the Pharisees asked, "Why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" Jesus answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and taking the consecrated bread, he ate what is lawful only for priests to eat, and he gave some to his companions. Then Jesus said to them, 'The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath.' On another Sabbath, he went into the synagogue and was teaching, and a man was there whose right hand was shriveled. The Pharisees and teachers of the law were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. But Jesus knew what they were thinking and said to the man with the shriveled hand, 'Get up and stand in front of everyone.' So he got up and stood there. Then Jesus said to them, 'I ask you, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it?' He looked around them all and said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' He did so, and his hand was completely restored. But the Pharisees and teachers of law were furious and began to discuss with one another what they might do to Jesus." So we see on two separate Sabbaths, first part, his disciples eating kernels of grain. And then on another Sabbath, we see Jesus healing the man's hand. And looking at these passages before, I never really understood the argument of why they thought he was violating the Sabbath and why Jesus was still justified in doing what he did. Because if Jesus truly violated the Sabbath, he was violating part of God's law, and therefore he was sinning, and therefore he could not be a sinless man. If he violated the Sabbath, then he would not have been sinless and couldn't be the perfect sacrifice, which we believe that he is. So looking at the first example, Jesus and his disciples are going through the grain fields at the end in verses 1 and 2, picked out the grain and ate the kernels, which was a practice of, in the Old Testament at least, of some of the people that were, that had need, right? The Israelites were required to leave some of their fields there for those who had need, those who were poor, essentially, couldn't provide for themselves. They were required to leave some of it there for them. but at this point in the New Testament, in the time of the Israelites, the laws had become such that on the Sabbath, that even taking grain, rubbing it in your hands, and eating it on the Sabbath was considered unlawful. To the degree that people would go the day before the Sabbath on, if it's assuming the Sabbath is Sunday, they would go on Saturday and pick the grain and...
Saturday Sabbath.
Okay. But so if Saturday Sabbath, as Dorothy corrected me, they would go on Friday, the day before, pick the grain that they needed and rub their hands. And then some would eat it before the Sabbath so that they weren't, that they fasted and ate, that they didn't eat on the Sabbath. But the Pharisees So you can understand why the Pharisees thought this was unlawful to do on the Sabbath. But God certainly forbid certain kinds of work during the Sabbath. But as the Pharisees and the teachers of the law knew, the priests technically were doing work on the Sabbath because they were still doing sacrifices and other priestly duties, but that's not unlawful, right? So it comes down to what work is lawful and what is unlawful to do on the Sabbath. And it had come to the point in Jesus' time that basically all work was unlawful on the Sabbath unless you were a priest and you had to do your duties. But that's not really what we see here. So if we go down to verse 3, Jesus counters their question with another question, as he often did, getting them to think about what they just said. And he asked them, have they never read about David when he and his companions were hungry? He talks about what David did during his time of exile with his men, and he actually went into a temple and ate bread that was only designated for priests, and this certainly violated God's law. But you can say, well, David had a great need. His men were hungry, and they couldn't find any other food, so he had to take the bread that was consecrated by priests and eat of it. But then if they justified what David did, then Jesus could easily justify what his disciples did, was they had this need to eat something. Even though it was on the Sabbath, they had to eat it. Therefore, they were justified in breaking God's law. And so he brings up this example in a way to kind of put them in a spot, because they can't justify what David did. Otherwise, what the disciples did is actually lawful and is not unlawful, as they just asked the question and assumed. And so they're kind of stuck in this tough spot. But if we think about what Jesus cared about most, was Jesus cared about mercy. And Jesus cared about obviously following God's law, but not at the expense of your personal needs or justifying, I need this so I can violate God's law. We see a perfect example in actually when he's tempted by the devil earlier in the Gospels. We see him directly confronted after he's fasted 40 days and 40 nights, that the devil tempts him with food and says, you have the power to turn this into food. Why don't you do it? You're hungry. Go ahead and do it. But to do that would violate God's command, which is not to live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And so he did turn it into bread to satisfy his own desire, his own hunger. Then he would have violated God's law in the same way here. So why are the disciples not being unlawful and not breaking God's law, even though they're eating on the Sabbath? They have this need, even though they're eating on the Sabbath. And the question that we need to ask is, well, what were the disciples doing besides just eating these grain, the kernels of grain on the Sabbath? What were they doing with Jesus? Well, they were following Jesus, they were preaching to others, and they were following Jesus so that Jesus could heal people, so that Jesus could teach, and so that Jesus could show mercy to others. So just like the Pharisees, they were doing these things out of obviously their need, but they were doing it while they were serving God. Legitimately, they were serving God. And much like if the priests wouldn't say that, well, because it's the Sabbath, I can't teach people, I can't preach to people, I can't, I can't neglect my priestly duties just because it's the Sabbath. That wouldn't be that one, number one, obeying God's law, but that wouldn't be showing mercy to people. So going back to the passage in Luke, looking at the second example here from verses 6 to 11, again, on a different day, on another Sabbath, Jesus goes to the synagogue and is teaching, and he sees a man with a deformed hand. It says shriveled. And clearly says the Pharisees were looking for a reason to figure out how to accuse him of something. And so he goes and heals the man's hand, and Jesus again asks them another question, asks the people another question in verse 9. And he says, I ask you what is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or destroy it. And so he's asking the question because, well, if you see somebody in need, even though it's the Sabbath, wouldn't you help them? Would it be good to ignore the need, to not show mercy by helping them, or to just pass by, just because we're called to do no work outside of the priests that had to do their priestly duties? But by ignoring it, that would be considered an evil. That would be, that would be not be showing mercy, which is what God desires. And potentially it would be, depending on what the person's need or desire or need is or ailment, it could be potentially destroying life. If they are in that circumstance, it wouldn't be saving them. And so these two points were pretty interesting to me as I investigated these two Sabbaths that Jesus interacted with the use of the law. And in summary, while the Sabbath was instituted in the Old Testament, we don't live by it now in the New Covenant, in the New Testament period, because Jesus fulfilled the whole law. But if we do keep the Sabbath, it's not prohibiting us from doing things that God commanded us to do. In fact, it encourages us to continue to do those things, whether it's taking care of those in need, keeping up with the things and the needs of our families. That is certainly something that God expects of us to do, even on a Sabbath day. And I would argue that, serving our families is a service to God and can still be done. I remember my mother recently commenting on, I wish I had time to have a Sabbath. But I think what we often miss is it's not just about doing nothing. It's about being in service to God and doing those things that God still expects of us. And in that, I think we can find some rest and encouragement for our lives. So while we don't encounter this argument, hardly at all anymore, I think it's still important to understand the disagreements that the Pharisees had with Jesus at the time, and to understand why Jesus was justified and why the disciples were justified in doing what they did. And for more other scriptures that you can look at for this, there is a parallel passage in Matthew, One second, because I don't. Okay. In Matthew 12, 1 to 14. And then, as far as showing what God desires, Hosea 6, verse 6. So, Hosea 6, verse 6. And then the example that they're referencing for David is 1 Samuel 21, verse 6. So 1 Samuel 21, verse 6, if you want to look at those later in more detail. But not that I'm trying to continue to rag on the Pharisees at all. For those who are here on Thursday, we also looked at another passage in Luke chapter 5, which had another confrontation with the Pharisees. But I think it's helpful to understand some of the arguments that the Pharisees had against Jesus and how Jesus was correct in what he did and everything, because possibly in the future people can bring these things up and try to dissuade us from believing that Jesus was the Son of God, that Jesus was the perfect sacrifice for us because of these things that supposedly he did that were unlawful according to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law at his time. So as we consider the sacrifice that Jesus gave, I think it's also helpful to think about the tactfulness, but also the great care that Jesus took within his own life to follow every command of God and to really intentionally, deeply understand the words so that he could do the things that he did and still be right with God, and to understand the division of what was tradition and what was in accordance with the word of God. So with that, let's pray before we partake of communion. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for your life and your sacrifice, God, for your in-depth knowledge of the Mosaic law of the Old Testament, God, and what you expected of the people at that time. God, we thank you for just the example that you give to us, God, of how to follow God, to reason with those that might disagree with us, God. Certainly you had very intelligent and well-trained opponents with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, God, that teach the law. While some were convinced of your divinity and your example, most were not. God, we pray that you would help us to better understand the life that you lived and the reasons for living a God, why you did what you did, so that we can be fully confident in, again, and as we continue in our lives, in the perfect sacrifice that you provided for us on the cross, because everything in our faith hinges on that. And God, we thank you for just your word and how it continues to speak to us, how we continue to learn from it, God, and to be better examples for those that are in our lives that do not yet believe in you. God, we pray for this time as we take communion that you would help us to better become more like you and help us have a better understanding of who you are. Pray all this in your son's name. Amen.